and welcome to episode 10 of Caithness Craft Collective. This week I have a review of the Caithness County Show Industrial Tent. The blether is on extremes, the textile technique is fabric marker, and well, I'm not going to update you on the collective because they're all on holiday just now. So get your tea, your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week. So the news. Well, I've cracked the iTunes mystery and now I'm all singing, all dancing, iTuner page and can be subscribed to from there. Hello all iTunes subscribers. I've also tagged myself into the Ravelry list of podcasts and the numbers have gone shooting up, so hello to you all. I've shown my mum the statistics of how many you've listened and where you're from and I'm kind of getting quite addicted to looking at it. No, I still can't see into your sitting room, but I'm working on it. I'm still working on making a group on Ravelry, and hello to Caroline and also to Spinning Lil. Now, competition. Nothing to report because there's nobody as daft as me. So it looks like I'll have to use that Bulkley wool after all. I'm not huffing, honest. I have another gowk or a dafty moment to tell you about though. I had my car in for a service and MOT last week and the back windscreen wiper wasn't working right. So I asked if they looked at it and he said yes, and they'll order a new one. Oh joy, more expense. Anyway, took it home and it clicked every 30 seconds or so all the way home, all the next day, and was driving me mad. I fiddled, I poked, I tidied, I slammed, and then I finally kicked the wheels in frustration and told a few people how annoying it was. So the next day, when it rained, I got in the car and turned the windscreen wiper on the front, and it made the same click noise, and then the penny dropped. They turned the switch on for the back wiper, but not turned it off, because it wasn't raining and it wasn't working. And because I hadn't turned it on to turn it off, I didn't realise that that's what was making the click. It was trying to work, but it didn't work. And it was driving me insane in the membrane. So thank you, garage people. I had my new suit on last week again. Hubby was over in Orkney working at lastminute.com. And I had to go along to a consultation of the proposed marine plan for the Pentland Firth and Orkney waters. It's like having a draft plan for things in the water rather than like when you put in planning permission for a house. So I stood up for myself in the discussions when some doubting Thomases or always is spouted on about not being any jobs for local people. And I sat there and I went, hello, I'm getting work of it. It's paying my mortgage and putting nappies on my bairn and also buying me lots of wool. So anyway, I did a bit of networking. I raised some interesting points, also some not quite so interesting. And I kind of got to wondering about when people are doing presentations and they're nervous or you're at a job interview and they get told, well, picture the crowd naked or sitting on the toilet and then they can do their presentation no bother. Well, as one of the guys was going through facts and figures, I remember this and I thought, oh no, he might be thinking about me being naked or sitting on the toilet. I don't like that. Anyway, I digress. I sashayed myself into the Elizabeth Wool Shop after this consultation on my way back and I bought a few balls of yarn. I've got Robin's Aran with wool and it's a big huge muckle ball in a brownie colour. 8 balls of Wendy Fusion in allspice. And I've got Surder Snuggly 4-ply to go for a crochet pattern. It's 1900 birth to 7 years of a little sweet cardigan. It's got a button at the top. It also has a cap. Or sort of beanie type of hat, but Daisy doesn't really suit that kind of hat, so that will be a present type. So this will go for the Surder Snuggly. And also I got a book of patterns, which is 328 code B, 14 designs for 2 to 13 year olds, and it's Secret Garden Super Soft Aran Knits for Surder. And my favourite pattern listed for the Worm Diggers. But my little Worm Digger said he didn't like any of them. So I'll just knit it and put it on his head and he'll not have to complain. And I got a knitting holder and quite delighted with myself. So the Wendy Fusion in allspice. I've chosen a pattern to make with this and after trawling through pages and pages of people's projects on Ravelry, I've been a little bit addicted to Ravelry this last week. It's the asymmetrical cable cardigan by Yahira Ferreira. I think that's how you say it. And I have no idea how to do it. So, if anyone can help me with it, please help. Not that I'm going to start it for a while, but I do really like it. I think it'll go quite well with that wool. I've got it listed in my patterns on my Ravelry page. So I'll just take you through what I've been at this week instead of the end of the podcast. I have been carrying on knitting the Debbie Bliss V-neck cardigan, and I'm on the sleeves now. Backs and fronts, done. I sound like Gordon Ramsay there. Fish, done. I've left the pink clickety-clack baby cardigan this week, and I'm stocking-stitching my way up the Serger Crofter V-neck vest. Now, there's a thing. What you may call a vest, I call a tank top, and I thought this was amusing, so I looked up faithful old Wikipedia and found the definition. Now, in American English, a tank top is a sleeveless t-shirt-like garment that can be worn by either gender. It is often worn under the shirt as underwear, although more colourful and well-designed tank tops are usually worn as an outer shirt. The term is also used in Australian English, although the term singlet is usually used to refer to the garment, which likewise is less common term used in the United States, usually reserved for athletic shirts. In British English, the term vest is used, while tank top refers to a sleeveless pullover. The name tank top, recorded in English since 1968, is derived from its resemblance to a tank suit, a style of one-piece woman's swimsuit with shoulder straps. Its name derives from the 1920s term swimming tank, which is an obsolete term for what is now called a swimming pool. The tankini of the words tank top and bikini is a woman's swimming version of the tank top. Also, it could refer to the pleating forming of the inner bottom of a ship's hull. But as I don't think I'll be knitting the inner bottom or outer bottom, come to think of it, I think I'll go with the previous definition. Now, where was I? No, I got into the stocking stitch part of the tank top, so, well, it's stretching quite fast. And it's looking really nice as well when the Serger Crofter wool is coming into its own. I've also decided that I don't like doing moss stitch or rib very much at all, because I lose my place too easily. Now, it's not that I don't like the effect or the texture or the pattern, I just don't like swapping the yarn back and forward all the time. It could be laziness on my part, though. I also had a lovely evening making some birthday cards. I used the Disney decoupage booklet up, and I made a Mr. Main card for my nephew who turned 2 instead of Disney. Because I enjoyed the Disney ones, some of them called for embroidery onto paper, and I haven't done them in a while, so I sat one night and made up most of the rest of the Disney ones that I've got. I've also tried to do my polytunnel for my big canvas, and I used the plastic apple bag, but no luck whatsoever because it really looked like a rubbish plastic creel. So I'm going back to the drawing board for that. For the big textile art project, see episode 1 notes for the full rundown for new people. And July's word was abstract, and the techniques are crochet and machine embroidery. Now, I had it in my little pin heed to crochet a tomato plant for the inside of the polytunnel out of embroidery thread. I'm not too sure about how I'm going to do this now. And I may make a non-three-dimensional polytunnel and have the crochet tomato plant behind the plastic, as it were. How is it when you can envisage something, but you don't know how to do it? I find it quite frustrating, and I have to think about it a bit more. But there's not much to report on the textile art side of things, though. Though I have the textile technique, I'm going to do that before the blather this week, because I've got the book and just in case I forget. So I'm kind of taking this from the book Beautifully Embellished Landscapes by Joyce Baker. I've still got it out the library, but I have renewed it, so don't worry, I'm not going to be able to pay a fine. And she talks about fabric markers. She uses fabric markers and she describes them as fantastic and they're not too expensive and you can use them to shade and actually change a colour of element. Her favourite brand is Fabrico by Tunescio, and I actually have a couple of these and they're quite good because if you've got a piece of material that's not quite right and you're desperate for that slightly darker shade of brown in it, or you could just want to shade a piece of tree, then just get the pen and it enhances it. And you can blend colours, and also says not all fabric markers require heat setting. Basically, you're colouring in on fabric using pens, and one side has normally got quite a normal nib and the other has like a brush nib, so you can get a bit more coverage or a bit less coverage. Not very exciting textile technique this week, but because I've not really been doing much of it, I've not as much been into it. So when I opened this book tonight, I thought, oh, I really fancy doing that, then I really fancy doing that. So next time, I promise I'll have a bit more. So the blather. The blather is on extremes this week. When I was knitting with the 4 pins doing the berry bag recently, hubby looked over and went, oh, that's extreme knitting. At the same time, we were watching a programme called Extreme Fishing with Robson Green. To you not in the know, Robson Green is an actor that females over the age of 30, obviously I'm 24, all fell in love with him when he was a squaddy and soldier in the early 90s. He still acts now, but he also does a programme called Extreme Fishing, and he goes all around the world and does fishing that is a little bit more involved than him going into the river with a fly. So, why extremes? It's not the safe middle, and it's not the end of the road, or the start, and it's depending on your outlook. It can be an extreme of hot and cold, big or small, wild or calm. My main thoughts are the weather or our sport. Extreme sports, my favourite being extreme ironing, where people take ironing boards to bizarre places and kid on that they are ironing, like the top of Ben Nevis, or a ski slope, or scuba diving. If you Google extreme ironing, it has its very own website, where it tells me it originates from Leicester. That's in Leicester in England. It's tagged with a line of the latest danger sport that combines the thrill of extreme outdoor activity with the satisfaction of a well-pressed shirt. And, well, why not? But you won't catch me doing it, though, because ironing boards are a right pain in the bum to lug around, because they always clog back my ankles. And also, I don't think I'd be ironing shirts, I would be ironing art. But I do like and participate in one extreme sport of such, which is skiing. I love pointing my skis downhill and just letting gravity take me, bending the knees. I love the thrill, the acceleration it gives me. I learnt to ski in Aviemore when I was at school. And if you learn there, you can basically learn anywhere, because normally the conditions are kind of pathetic. Ice, ice, baby. I wasn't a fast learner either, and I was black and blue the whole week and for weeks afterwards, but once I figured it out, I've been hooked on it ever since, and I do have my own skis. I did bump into my instructor. I also ran over the whole class's skis as they were lined up waiting for me to come down the slope. Now, I particularly quite like the mulled wine part of skiing these days. I've tried snowboarding when we were in Lake Louise in Canada, and, well, I wasn't very good the first day and couldn't really do very much. And I thought, it'll be like skiing. Once I get the gist, I'll be off. So the second day, we were at Sunshine, and there was a lassie from Edinburgh in my class who was just as bad as me. After 3 more hours of face-planting ourselves, we did what every Scottish person does. We went to the pub, but we got right royally caked. It was much easier going down the slope then. Third day in, and I wasn't really getting any better. And I was taking the mickey out of my dude of an instructor with big exaggerated movements, when all of a sudden it clicked. That was me. I was off zooming down the hill like a dude boarder. Now, I'm not one of those who say you either ski or you board. To me, it's like you either knit or you crochet. Well, no, I don't. I do both. Because I'm greedy and I enjoy both of them. Both of them have their pluses and both of them have their minuses. I'm not a snob that way. Now, I have tried another extreme sport once, scuba diving. Hubby can do it. He learnt in Tenerife, and that's where I did a try dive, which basically you go into the swimming pool and then if you kind of still like it, you go into the sea. Now, I wasn't going to do this because I hated the pool session, but because I didn't want to miss out on what my pal was doing, and, well, truth be told, the instructor Martin was gorgeous, we got to hold his hand for half an hour underwater. But I was very scared until I got in and I saw the fish and I was mesmerised by them. I didn't like it because I couldn't speak either. I wanted to say, look fish, it's Nemo, but I couldn't because I had this breathing apparatus in my mouth. And I don't think I could dive in Scotland, but Hubby does at every opportunity and he eats clams, which are quite nice for my tea. And I've done my fair share of lugging diving gear around and knowing how careful you have to be. But if you do fancy trying it, please do so, because it is great seeing fish in their own environment. Now, I asked Sarah what her extremes were, and I got this reply. Extreme for me was climbing to a top of church in Sweden. She's just back from her holiday in Sweden. I only had my sunglasses on, so I couldn't see going up or down, because if I took them off, I was blind. So I didn't get too scared by the ladders, but when I got to the top and out of the roof, major fear set on, and I only managed to take a photograph of Michael's hand. Michael is Karen's husband. So poor Sarah up the top of that tall church. I've just found a great new kiddies programme on CBBC, which is extremely funny. Do you hear that? That's terrible. It's called Ooglies, and my bairns love it. Basically, it's inanimate objects that have got googly eyes stuck onto them to make them have an expression. And then they do stopgap animation and they move them around and cause all sorts of mischief. And my favourite one is the boiled egg, and it's sitting in its egg cup with its googly eyes, and then a bunch of chillies come running around it and it explodes, and it's still sitting there with googly eyes going, ooh. Obviously, you have to see this, but I liked it for two reasons. The first is that I use the stick on googly eyes for my card making because it gives them an extra dimension and comic value. And secondly, it's a bit like Trapdoor from the early 80s, which I find extremely funny. Oh dear, that was bad. I hope I don't have egg on my face. Sorry. Anyway, on to more serious things. Extreme knitting. Now, designer Ingrid Wagner that knits on massive needles to make rugs and huge pieces of art. She's featured in this month's edition of Let's Knit, and her favourite needles are 1 meter long. She said that she feels like a borrower, which is the story of small people that live in houses like mice and borrow things from the house. And on the other side of the scale, extreme-wise, is knitting for dolls' houses, which use piano wire as needles. I found this when I googled knitting with piano wires. Tiny blue sock, pure masochistic knitting. The blue sock is worn by knit listers to conventions like Stitches, so they can identify each other and run up and squeal, "Ooh, you're on the knit list too." It is knitted in blue polyester sewing thread on homemade piano wire needles, and the sock measures about an inch across. The tension or gauge is about 30 stitches an inch, but this is a guess. I'm not masochistic enough to knit a 4-inch gauge swatch to check, but instead extrapolated from a 1/4-inch measurement. The pattern? Well, you first cast on 32 stitches and then divide them on 4 needles. Let me know if you get that far and I'll give you the rest. Seriously, if you ever decide to take up knitting miniatures, the best advice I can give you is not to skimp on the needle preparation. Sharp edges and burrs will cut and snarl your thread, slow you down, and make your blood pressure rise. I think that I'll stick to my Knit Pro size 4 aims. Extreme machine embroidery. When I was being taught to use my sewing machine for freehand machine embroidery, I had my calico nicely tucked into a tension hoop to keep it taut. When I didn't have it quite right on, and it pinged and it split my lip, that's extreme machine embroidery. My song this week is More Than Words by the band Extreme from the early 90s. It's not my favourite song, but it had a tedious length. I wonder why people go to extremes, whether it's to the extreme ends of the earth for adventure or the extremes of their chosen hobby or work. Is it because they want to be different from the general rat race, or just to better themselves? The Olympic motto is Sitius Altius Fortius. These three Latin words mean swifter, higher, stronger. Baron de Cubereuten, do you like my pronunciation, borrowed the motto from Father Henry Martin Didion, the headmaster of a Crulier College in Paris. Father Didion used the motto to describe the great achievements of the athletes at his school. Cubereuten felt it could be used to describe the goals of great athletes all over the world. Crafting is generally seen as a calming and relaxing hobby, but there are boundaries to push. Extremes to go to. So whether you're a middle of the road crafter or an extreme crafter, just make sure you enjoy yourself doing it. Okay, now I'll let you listen to my run through the Caithness County Show, industrial tent held at Scrabster on the 17th of July. My mum was stewarding the tent as she has for the past 4 years, so I'm kind of interviewing her. And this year, I'm very proud to announce she got a second and a third prize. For her item made from a pair of jeans, she got a second, and she made a lovely handbag, which she'll describe, and for a birthday card, she got a third place. So I'm very proud of you, Mum. There was a very funny point as well, because my mum had been madly knitting a child jumper for the show, and she was doing it for Daisy. In second place, in the child's jumper category, was the exact same pattern, but in an acrylic, double-knitted yarn. She was knitting it in a double-knitted Pure Luxury Merino by Stillcraft in an ivory shade. Now, this pattern is as old as the hills. It had a price tag for 50p on for Mackay's, and when M&Co was Mackay's way back when. So how funny is that, that she chose the same as somebody else who got second place? And there were quite a few entries in that category, so only reason that it had been awarded a prize made I notice that it was the same jumper. She had taken it round to me last week for help with the crochet pico-edged collar, and I was fiddling on with it. Now, we couldn't quite figure it out, so she went away with some knitting patterns for pico edge and the crochet hook. And she told me on Thursday that she'd run out of yarn, could I order some more? She wasn't going to get it done for the show, but wanted Daisy to get use of it. She'll hear her ask me that in the interview. So I ordered it on Friday afternoon from www.wonderwool.co.uk, and also a size 5 cable needle for my asymmetrical cardigan. And I was sent an email of 5:30 on Friday telling me it had been posted first class. And lo and behold, there it was, 12:30 post on Saturday. Go the post office. Now that's Bedford to Caithness overnight, no holds barred. I emailed Sandra from Wonderwool to tell her how impressed I was, and I got a nice reply back. So, back to the county show. Sound quality is not brilliant, but it's okay, and you may hear Sandy pipe in because he was with me. I've also put the pipes in, as in the bagpipes. They have a parade of the best of the show, the cows and the sheep and the horses and the chickens and all that, and they have the pipe band march round, and I thought of you all. The photos of all the show stuff are on the Podbean website, so if you go there, go down to the right and you'll see them all in the Flickr.
Hello, we're at the county show. I don't know how good this quality is going to be, so this is Mum and she's stewarding today. Say hello, Mum.
Hello, Mum. Hiya.
And we're in the industrial tent and we have, me and Sandy have been around. Say hello.
Hello.
It's Sandy. And he's just been bought a quad bike, so he's dead happy. Now, we're looking at the sculptures. Mum, tell me a bit more about the sculptures.
Well, it's a workshop that they have it in Wick and Thurso, and the classes last for 10 weeks, and they've done heads, they've done figurines. Elizabeth, she came first, and that's a
surfer.
Yeah,
I've got a photo of them.
And they're not voted by judges.
Oh, are they not?
It's just a class, and we're bringing them in, you know.
All right, well, it's nice to see you anyway. Now, we're coming to the industrial section here of cross stitch.
That cross stitch is made by a 90-year-old lady.
It is immense. It's about the same size as Sandy, isn't it? And it,
the Ada is very large. The count, it comes from somewhere abroad, I was told.
Oh, right. Lovely.
The judge loved that, loved it, would have took that home. But she's, because there's not a lot of cross stitching in, she had to go for the technical side of it as well. So,
well, the mum's talking about the case mace. Cross stitch. Now I've actually got that, and I know it's a kit, and it's a cross stitch of a map of Caithness, and it's beautiful. It's something I would have on the wall as well. So then we come to the knitting.
We all liked that when it came in, the jumper.
The first prize in the child's hand knitted jumper, and Liz McDonald of Thurso, who's won an awful lot down here, has got the first.
The second is amazing. I was knitting that for Daisy for the show. And I ran out of wool because I knit the sleeves longer and the body longer, and I had a crochet on the collar and I didn't have enough wool. Have you managed to?
I've ordered it.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'll get it finished.
Yeah. I like the tractor on it. Sandy liked the tractor. Didn't you like the tractor?
Yeah, lovely tractor.
Yeah. We're moving down the line. I love the little hats. I thought they were just stupendous.
Yeah.
The work in that 4-ply or 2-ply or cotton, it's just like thread. It's so fine.
And the top
one. That's Liz McDonald again.
The top one. Oh. They loved that. But the neckline here, she had sewn it all the way up and left a tiny bit, and they wouldn't have had enough room for the neck.
Oh, what a shame. Mm-hmm. Of course, because they pick things up and have a look at them, don't they?
Yeah, we could, but you could.
Yes.
And that one.
I like that.
Yeah.
I very much like that. I think that's gorgeous. That, what is it? Cross stitch?
Yes, cross stitch.
It's a cross stitch picture. You see the photograph in the Flickr, and it's won first prize of old fashioned cars. And then the second prize is.
The frame.
I love the frame.
Because
the framing is part of it. I was quite sad for the Winnie the Pooh one that's beside it because it's just offset. It's like it's waiting for a name.
That's what she said. And she said there was a lot of work on that, and then. They loved that, but because it wasn't...
Don't like the frame, the way it's done.
Because it was mount, points away.
I could understand that, because it takes... It just shows when you're finishing doing something, although you've put a lot of work into it, then it does require to be finished off.
Yeah, judges said that. Yeah.
Now, on to the best use of 50 grams of wool.
The judges didn't. They were weighed before they were put in.
Well, there's a... A little ball that won, it's like a baby ball. There's a hat that got second, and is that?
Hot water ball
that got third. Nice knitted. Then there's a cardigan, a pair of socks, and I think that's like a dish.
Bib.
Oh, is it a bib?
It's just blown at the top.
Oh, it's a shame. Now, on to Miranda's bag, machine sewn laundry with drawstring. And my good friend Miranda won first prize, and my good friend Jenny done it, won second prize. And Meg McGill won third, and they're lovely. So we come on to new from old, item made from old pair of denim jeans. And who got second?
Me.
Woohoo! Isn't that lovely? Are you excited about that?
Yes.
Now, This was made from an old pair of jeans. So the first one, you see the picture, it's brilliant. It's a little elf.
Mm-hmm.
You see that was an elf?
Mm-hmm.
And it's got waistcoat on, it's got little jeans himself, it's got bells on his toes, and it's got a character. I'm sad he's not got a face.
I know, but...
But then, I don't know if that would spoil it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Mum's made a lovely bag out of my husband's old pair of jeans.
And I had such a job near the end for the handles because
oh.
they were holed at the knees and they were very faded. So I had to...
He gets a lot of use out of these jeans.
Yeah, so I had really had a job.
Now we've got crochet cover, cushion cover.
That's Myra who come third who did that. Long picture and cross stitch.
Oh, right.
She's 90.
Wow. Just shows you never have to stop.
Okay.
It's just gorgeous. It's very, very fine. It's done in a thread of cotton.
Mm-hmm.
Here, anybody if wins the Gout Awards, they could have got that for making a crochet cover out of the thread dye. Yeah, Marjorie Dixon, she lives near me.
Oh,
she's made a teddy bear. She wins everything for the...
Yeah, we noticed that.
And I see Liz McDonald did an awful lot as well.
Yeah.
So there's two teddy bears and fabric toys. And then we've got item suitable for a kitchen. And it is Miranda won first. And Lorna Bodie, who I know, won second. And there's, I don't know who Lorraine Tate is, but she's won third. And the first one is, do you think that is a tea towel?
Yes, it is. I was told you could dry your hands on that.
It's a hand towel. Jenny told you. Brilliant. Yes, I like Lorna's because it's a blackboard and she's put female flowers on the bottom of it. And it's got shopping list and then there's a pen for a bit of chalk that's got been femaled with a little bumblebee. You see the bumblebee, Sandy? Isn't it cute? Now, moving on to what I thought was very disappointing, that there was only one, but it is absolutely beautiful. It was an embroidered picture, it's of a cat, and there is a lot of French notes in that. I can do French notes, but I know some people struggle with them, so there's a lot of French notes in that. And we come on to the line drawing, and it's lovely. I've taken a few pictures of that, and it got the special in show for the art, and it is... Kim Reed, Ashley Art from Bilbster.
She came over last night and she was like, oh, I can't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
She got a first, she got a second, and she got a third up there. And she says, I just decided last night to put everything in.
Wow.
And she got the special of the whole handicraft.
Was that the entire, including this?
This, the whole...
I did wonder, because I was thinking if it was just the art, but it's the whole thing.
And I'll show you the other one that was underneath, that was between the two of them. Decided, you know, art and that one.
Yeah, that you could imagine that being on your wall, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And it's got a lot to look at.
It's lovely.
And I don't actually need to touch it. Right, now, the fascinators, quite like to touch them. First, second, and third. We've got a black one, a red one, very fine, and the third in a black. Now, we've got a painting in oil, and Sandy, where's that? Up there?
The Castle Maze.
And what colour rosette's it got on?
Blue.
Which means it's second, isn't that good? Right,
we've
come on to a handmade jewellery item, and it's lovely. It's a bracelet beaded with pearls on it as well, and the second one is a crochet necklace, and the third one is quite a traditional jewellery. In fact, it's beaded. It's got big leaves of beaded. So then we come on to small hand-sewn gift, and first is a bookmark,
mm-hmm.
and the second is a corsage,
mm-hmm.
and it's done in felt, and it's a poppy, and third is a pincushion done in patchwork.
And it has a little symbol on the back.
Oh, how lovely!
So there's on the front and symbol on the back.
Now, this is the birthday card. Now, who got third in the birthday card?
Me.
Who got third in the birthday card?
Mama.
Yay! And isn't it lovely? So, first is a embroidered onto paper card. Second is a waterfall card. And third is Grandma's card, which is a topper. And I know that she took quite a lot of time sewing every single bead on individually. And I wouldn't say I was disappointed in them, but I don't think there's very many in
it. There isn't. There's not many in them this year.
No. That was in a Canopy show, but that's Lorna Bodie. That's who did the blackboard.
All right. right.
Yeah. She had chickens. They probably all lined up for her and took the photo.
Painting in watercolour. This is the one I would have put you.
No, not at all. Not when you see that. That's gorgeous.
I don't like that.
Do you know?
It didn't impress me at all. I don't know why.
I like it because I don't know whether it's hills or sky or northern lights. But it does, it speaks to me, and when you sort of take it on itself, I like it. It had depth to it, and I wouldn't have put mine in because I saw a lot of, not mistakes in mine, but I didn't think it had quite the depth that it should have.
But you like it.
No.
I like Jack.
Jack Nicholson.
Nothing's a really good likeness.
It is, but is it watercolour?
Apparently, yes.
Wow.
I thought it was line paint, but...
I don't know if I've got a photo of that. I'll take a photo.
I have. Right.
Now, where were we?
Doorstop.
Doorstop, which is very popular just now because the WRI tent has got loads of them. Oh, WRI went up and they were doing pancakes, how to make pancakes of demonstration. So, and it was Merkel WRI. And I said, oh, yes, I know Jenny Dunnett. She makes really good pancakes. She says, that's my recipe. And I went, that's why they're the best pancakes in Caithness. So they were doling them all out.
Yes,
really nice.
I was
getting talked into going, but I never committed myself. Right, where were we? Doorstop, first one is... Oh!
Lorna Bodie, a dog, a collie. And the second one is WI inside, that's a man. Someone brought Bring It In. A cat with little mice running around. Sleeping sentry, it's
got. Lovely. I wouldn't have put it as a doorstop, personally, but I do like it.
Uh-huh. And the third one is doorstop is a pot with a handle. By Christine Sutherland.
Tell me about this, Mum.
Well, it's a hard anger, and it's made by a lady who's in her 70s. Last year, she won this special with a tablecloth, and it was in hard anger.
Oh, yes, I
and
mind that.
And it was absolutely beautiful. Yeah. And this is for her family's 40th wedding anniversary,
uh-huh.
And she made it.
It's a long, thin piece. It's in a sort of purpley kind of hue to it.
Yeah, and it's got a pearl in every point there, going all the way up and along and down, and little hearts in the corners.
And it's won the special of the best exhibit in handicrafts, which is why we're sort of discussing it.
Beautiful.
It is, it's really lovely. And I very, very much like this. It's a bowl in felt, and it's got beads on the outside. Right, we've come on to the photography bits now. I know Sarah's not put anything in because she's away on holiday. The first one is Caithness publicity shot, and the winner is, well, that's got the special, is Doris Gunn from Ackergill, and it's a picture of Duncan C. Stacks. Now, it actually looks like a professional photograph to me, because
mm-hmm.
it's the way she's got an amount. Like it's been from the picture shop, but we've got Dunnett Head, another stack, but I don't know where.
I love their
Highland Coo. And Sandy particularly likes. There's a one on the beach with a kite surfer. Do you like that one?
Yeah.
Why do you like it?
Well,
the ones I like in this wildflowers is the wild rose, those beautiful yellow primroses, and that with the bee on. I don't know what kind of wildflower that is, and the fly. I think it's lovely, but the dandelions is funny.
Yeah.
I got third, the daisies got second, and thistle got first.
Yeah. There, if you look on the pictures on Flickr, you'll see all these. And there's a Venus flytrap on that one.
Ah, right, yeah.
And now it's out from Forsenard, the peat bogs out there. I've seen them, and yeah, stuck my finger in it to see if it would shot in itself. Now, question I have to ask you, why have they got all the people's names open for the photography but not for the handicrafts?
They always do for some reason. Elizabeth, who used to work on here, she retired last year. She said they like to say their names on the photography, so they've always opened the names.
Because they don't with the handicrafts and they don't with the florals. Just find it's
nothing else, strange. But just with it.
Yeah. Now, the next one is a colour photography, Shoreline. Oh, there's some lovely ones there. There's, one was a picture, quite moody, from Mark Galway or Castleton Way looking onto Dunnett Head. It's nice. It's all very well presented and stuff, but there's some really nice ones there. I like the one of the boat coming into the harbour at Leibster.
That's good.
Now, then we come on to quite a good section of four colour photographs on one theme. And we've got sheep shearing, we've got birdies which got second, there's winter, two winter, a dog with a cockatiel. I never noticed that before. Then there's swans, there's birdies. Mum's also keen on this special.
The one that got the special? They don't look green.
It's all to do with slowing your frame down and quite professional one. And then there's
lighthouses,
which is really cool. I love lighthouses, so that's my favourite.
Lovely.
Mountain race between in.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Spitfires. You like the Spitfires, didn't you? The plane, Sandy. Yeah, and the doggy. And then we've got boat down, sunrise and sunset. I like that, but that's because it's got wind farm in it.
All right.
And Blair Cross Country.
Yeah, it's half a hostel.
And above that is Beautiful Bloom, which is like a rose and a fuchsia. I don't know what the other two are. But it's very nice. We're all very close up. And then we've got, and it got third, the photo with capture.
I love these.
My favourite one, and I think it was a well-deserved winner, was the post office. And there's a Land Rover sitting outside, post office in Wick, with two big bags of feed, like massive big bags of feed on a trailer, and it's got a second class stamp should cover it as the caption. It looks because it's sitting outside the post office. And the second was a raccoon just hanging around. Third was a little girl baking, and it says preparing for the county show, Katie Morag style.
And my favourite is that man with the flowers, with a great big white beard, a lovely hat. And the caption is, the name's not Bill O'Bain.
I like that. Now, there's a computer-generated photograph. Which one did Mummy like?
The one with the dog, two heads.
It's got two heads because it's been computer-generated and they've been fiddling with it. So it's got second. First was like a frosty picture of a church. And then third was a Spitfire. Pretty cool. Has it been busy, Mum?
Yes. Yeah. We stayed till about 20 past 8 last night, and it was busy.
Good.
And it finished at 9 o'clock, and it was still coming in when we went home.
Ooh.
It was a long day, and the weather was atrocious.
Yes.
But we were delighted with the amount of people that did come in.
So, thank you very much for talking to me, Mum.
You're welcome.
So, thank you for listening. The music this week was from Saturday's County Show. And you can contact me on Caithness Craft Collective at podbean.com. or caithnesscraftcollective@googlemail.com, or on Ravelry, I am Louise J. Hunt, and I endeavour to make a group soon. Thank you for listening, and keep on crafting.